acclaimed integrative medicine expert, Dr. Holly Lucille.
Think well, act well, be well.
Inherently you.
Hey, hello there. Welcome. I am Dr. Holly Lucille, and yes, this is the Inherently You podcast brought to you today by the Institute for Natural Medicine. So I'm going to be chatting today with our esteemed guest, Guillermo Ruiz, about the importance of patient-centered and individualized medicine. Guillermo is a fourth-year naturopathic medical student at the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. His aim is to use his research to advance naturopathic medicine using an evidence-based approach and focuses on finding evolutionary connections between our modern and traditional healthcare systems. Guillermo, welcome.
Hi, how are you, Dr. Holly?
Hey, I am great, and I'm so happy to have you. You've got just so much going on. I'm so fascinated with your career trajectory here. Tell us, how did you get involved in naturopathic medicine? Give me that backstory, because it's so poignant for each and every individual that I talk to.
Well, you know, it's really, you know, whenever I'm going to start with a story from school. Okay, I'm a fourth year naturopathic student, and and I remember when we were sitting around, we have something called the sharing circle ceremony, and you know, we pass around a talking stick, and as everyone gets the talking stick, they get to tell their story. So I was sitting there in the in this circle with all of the people that started school at the same time as me, and I kept hearing their story. And it turns out that everyone that ends up in this naturopathic profession somehow has different stories, but we all share the same narrative. And what I mean by that is that at some point we realize that medicine had failed us. Somehow we had come to this conclusion that the system of medicine that we have right now is not enough. And modern medicine is amazing.
So you're talking about, Guillermo, wait a minute. So you're talking about, when you talk about the system of medicine that we have right now, the conventional Western reductionistic approach, pretty much the insurance-based approach that we're all very familiar with. Is that correct?
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you how it failed me. Okay. So I'm a PubMed junkie. You know, I go PubMed, and I like getting into that rabbit hole of research, and I go to a research article and I read it, and then I go to the sources of how this was cited, and I keep going and going digging deeper and deeper and deeper. My mind works in a very ones and zeros kind of a way, and I like making this connections within research and trying to identify things. Okay, so
you're a research geek. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So then I started, looking at I'm a little chubby, I was a little chubby, and I was like, I need to fix this, and I can use science to fix my weight. So I started looking into different types of diets and the connections between the diets, and somehow I end up, through blogs or podcasts, finding the paleo diet. Around the same time, my girlfriend's mom gets diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer. It's called jejunal cancer. And her first symptom was a complete occlusion of the lumen of her small intestine. Now, this is a very rare type of cancer, and her first symptom was like nausea, vomiting. Her whole intestine was occluded. She goes to the emergency department. They do a scan. They find it, and then she basically has to get emergency surgery within that same week, and all of the things are there, saying that it's cancer. So with my research mind, I go on PubMed and start looking at case studies about this rare form of cancer, and this rare form of cancer has one consistent thing. All of the case studies reported on PubMed link it to celiac disease or a gluten intolerance.
Sure.
So now this makes sense, because if your intestines are inflamed constantly, you're constantly repairing them, and you only need one cell to mutate, and that's it. You have cancer. It advances very rapidly because the intestines are constantly fixing themselves. and then that's how, you know, this cancer starts. Okay, so there's this really neat study about three sisters that have this very rare form of cancer.
So the same cancer sister, that your girlfriend's mom was diagnosed with, correct?
Yeah, small intestinal cancer. Okay, so the first sister gets diagnosed with the cancer, you know, the first symptom, again, an occlusion, and she passes away. So then the second sister, they go, well, you know, you guys are twins, let's do an endoscopy, and they find the same type of cancer, and they also find celiac disease. So thankfully, they caught it in time to where it wasn't completely occluded, and she survived this type of cancer. Then, curiously, the third sister gets diagnosed with celiac disease. So that's three sisters with the same, you know, with celiac disease and the propensity to have this type of cancer. So I pull out all of these case studies. I make a little, packet, and then she takes it to the surgeon. The surgeon looks at these papers, this evidence, and he puts it aside and says, you know, it is nothing you did. We're going to fight this, and we're going to beat this cancer. Now, nice. That's a great message. You know, that's a great message. But she wasn't able to survive a cancer. And that surgeon had the power to say, you know, there's a strong correlation between celiac disease and this type of cancer. You have genetic material walking around this earth. Maybe they should consider stop eating gluten.
Right. But, so, and just for our listeners, celiac disease is it's a pretty serious genetic autoimmune disorder where when you eat gluten, it completely leads to damaging that small intestine.
Yeah. And that's when I realized that within science, you have people that follow the research and do all these things, really cool discoveries and advance the science. But at the same time, the same people that take this research and cherry pick what's convenient for them to use, you know, are right. the ones that sometimes are giving us our health care.
That's interesting because I know you're going somewhere with this because we are talking about the importance of patient-centered and individualized care. And we're going to get into another show with you and talk about how important this research is and some of the problems of it, like you're talking about. But I know you're getting somewhere with this because you're mentioning that you yourself, a little bit chubby, wanted to take care of that, and you sort of stumbled upon the paleo diet. And I want you to tell me and our listeners what that means to you. But you're also talking about this, I know, in this connection with your mom's, with your girlfriend's mom having this cancer that is so rare but has this connection to celiac disease. Tie the dots together for me.
Okay. So then I look at the evidence, you know, and then the paleo diet is automatically gluten-free. I start getting better. I start losing weight. My girlfriend starts losing weight. Her dad starts losing weight. And then we start noticing things, like, for example, I had like a little bit of arthritis in one of my knees. Okay, that goes away. My girlfriend had something that was, you know, pretty much like IBS symptoms. She stops eating wheat, and they go away.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah. So the signs were there that there was a connection within this wheat and this awful disease, and because. This surgeon didn't want to, it was inconvenient for him to have to sit down and explain to a cancer patient, well, this is celiac disease, this is what you do. They just want to do the reductionistic approach and attack the cancer, you know, and some of the cancer therapies and the advancements that we've made with cancer are great, but sometimes we have to look deeper and actually remove obstacles to health. In order to give the patient the best chance. Okay, so now that's when I was working at a hospital, you know, and that was my aha moment. I was like, you know, I wish there was this profession where I could go in and not just prescribe your next medication, maybe just sit down with a patient for more than 5 minutes, talk about your diet, talk about exercise, sleep, and then really heal people from, you know, from a macro perspective. And sure enough, you know, this profession is naturopathic medicine. So I like to say that naturopathic medicine found me, not the other way around.
So you were drawn to the fact that we have these principles in naturopathic medicine, identify and treat the cause. Now, you're looking at this rare cancer, as you're saying, and through your research, ones and zeros mind, as you put it, you find this connection with celiac disease. The paleo diet, knowing that you remove all gluten in the paleo diet, there's a connection there as far as food. So being able to certainly identify and treat the cause, treating the whole person too. So instead of just the reductionistic approach of, okay, we're going to attack this cancer, let's look at the environment of the individual. Let's look at what they've been eating. Let's look at so much more that contributes, I think, to folks' health across the board, right? So these principles are what lured you into becoming a naturopathic medical student, correct?
Correct. And they go beyond just, you know, when I talk to people about the profession that I've chosen, you know, they go beyond with just like, oh, you know, my doctor, my primary physician is so holistic. You know, he's not going to prescribe me metformin. He gives me cinnamon, you know, and it's right. One of those things that's not naturopathic medicine. That's not individualized care. That's substituting a natural product for a prescription. And that's not what I want.
Yes. That's a great distinction because I come across that a lot too. People will say, oh, you're a naturopathic doctor. You just give St. John's wort instead of Prozac. And I was like, you know what? Simplifies it way too much. And actually, it's erroneous because a lot of times, you know, it's the way that we're taught to think, I think, that makes the difference there. And you're right. You can just use a natural, more natural substance, clinically researched perhaps, but use it in a reductionistic way. And, you know, I've always said, because we're talking about this, and I know that conventional Western reductionistic medicine has failed you, and I certainly have thousands and thousands of patients where they end up coming to me because they have the same experience. I think there's value in all systems of medicine. You know, there's a place for everything. I've said this story many times, in a car accident, motorcycle accident, and, you know, having a bummed because I had a horrible fall with my dog. That, you know, those are times when I want somebody just to reduce me to, you know, the critical injuries that I have at that point in time. When you're looking at our modern day, and even in something so fascinating as cancer and how it develops, I think that individualized patient-centered care where people really are taught to think things through and empty their cup before they take on that clinical presentation, meaning, you know, sure, we've got a bunch of knowledge, but really focus on the connections that person brings, what their life brings, what their diet has brought, what their environment has brought, is really the key to stimulating healing from the inside out. And after all, that's what we do, right? That inherent ability for our bodies to heal, we honor that, and we try to get that going in our patients.
Well, you know, like your St. John's wort example, you know, if you have someone with mental disease, you know, and they are either depressed or, you know, they don't have a Prozac deficiency. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, let's give you Prozac and that will fix you. Just right. Like they don't have a St. John's wort deficiency.
Right.
You know, so we can use this, you know, we can use St. John's wort and we can use Prozac as tools, because if someone walks into the office and they have, you know, an A1C of 11, you know, I want to reduce their heart attack risk. I want to reduce all of the bad things that happen when you have elevated sugar for a very long time. And I might use metformin. But at the same time, I'm going to change their diet. I'm going to talk about lifestyle. I'm going to individualize a plan for this particular person. And then the goal is not to be on metformin for the rest of your life. It's just
That's right. So you'll think about an exit strategy as well, because we want to, I mean, I think what you're saying is amazing. And I think it takes me to this point that I've made with several people, that the integrative approach when it comes to individualized medicine could be, as you said, a prescription medication like metformin. That hemoglobin A1C, and so that's elevated blood sugar over probably you're looking at the past 6 weeks or so. So you're able to detect that in that simple blood test for folks, and that leads people for metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular risk, and you want to do something. You're right. So metformin might actually be what you choose. It might be the most integrative approach for that person at that point in time. Same thing with the hip replacement. You know, it's not a turf war where it's, surgery and then what we do. It is really, you know, as we've been talking about, looking at the individual and saying, you know what, and I've said this is a patient that I had last week. We're contemplating surgery for a hip replacement, and the integrative approach at that point in time, 100% was for she to have this hip replacement surgery. Now, can we augment the process and have the outcome, perhaps have a greater good outcome chance by prepping for surgery and as far as nutritional status and wound healing afterwards, et cetera, all of that stuff we can, but it is really about focusing on the individual and taking all the tools that we have available for us.
And then it gets into very specific, you know, problems with the approach of to medicine that we have right now. For example, you have a person that suffers from a heart attack. Okay, take them to the emergency department, and they might crack open their chest. They take a vein from your leg, and then they can do a bypass, and that's almost miraculous. You know, the advances right. that we have made with medicine are so fantastic. The problem
Unbelievable.
Is when those discharge papers come out and they say, well, he's healthy, what does that mean to that person? You know, right. how is this person who probably had a crappy diet, probably smoked, you know, had all these bad habits, overnight supposed to just know what eating healthy is? So now they go to the store, and who's making those recommendations? You know, is it Monsanto? Is it, you know, the advertisement companies? Is it Dr. Google? You know, who is going to be teaching this person how to eat? And
right.
that's where we come in, you know. We can come in as naturopathic practitioners. We can come in before this heart attack happens and prevent it. And we have very effective tools to do that. And teach
yep.
the patient how to eat and teach the patient, you know, maybe some supplementation and change habits. And okay, but what happens after that heart attack happens? If that discharge paper said instead, go see your local naturopath. Now we can sit down with this person and have a real honest conversation on what it is you need to do in order to maintain this status of health or to reverse all of this bad outcome. And that's why our profession is just so powerful, because even after something, you know, like a hip replacement or a bypass happens, we have so many tools in order to help you just bounce back and come back stronger for your family, for yourself, for society. And we can do this because we don't have this limitation on our nutrition education, our times with the patient. We have a little bit broader scope on different strategies other than your prescription medication.
All right, Guillermo, thank you so much. Listen, here's what we're talking about, folks. Naturopathic medicine. Guillermo, you fit right in with the Inherently You philosophy, because I have a passion for people being well in here. It's not good or it's bad. It's not skinny or fat. It's not, you know, choosing this or that. It's what is right for each individual. There's so much information out there now more than ever about how people can be well, but we're still struggling. As a country, we're still struggling with our chronic healthcare conditions that are on the rise constantly. And so I really want to get in there. And I think patient-centered, individualized care, naturopathic doctors have their principles. Prevention is the cure, as you were just talking about. And as far as I've been around, it is probably one of the most comprehensive systems of medicine. So if you want to find a naturopathic doctor, you can go to naturemed.org. That's actually sponsored by the Institute for Natural Medicine, who is sponsoring this podcast. Yes, Inherently You. Listen, if we want to grow this community, we do. Please go over to iTunes and rate this show. And thank you so much for being with me, Guillermo. Thank you, listeners. We'll see you next time.